always no regrets, even backing up. I'd also wanted to go to Hollywood. That was a dream before, because I grew up in music, and I'm like, I'm gonna be a star. I introduced myself and I said, hey, you gotta give me a chance and split this space and do a cheese shop. I think it could be really big. That day, the owner said yes. He said he would do it. So I was like really proud, and then I was scared to death.
I'm here with Gina Freese. And hi, Gina. And Gina is a wonderful human, a great friend, a dear friend, someone who is very, very passionate about life, and also very passionate about cheese.
That is true.
Yeah. So much so that, is it 15 years ago, 17 years ago?
Oh my gosh, it will be in January, 19 years.
19.
Yay. Wow. I can't be that old. First.
You're not.
And second, time flies when you're eating cheese.
Wow.
It really is. It's crazy. You know. So yeah, 19 it will be on January 17th.
So on January 17th, it will be 19 years that Gina and Roger co-founded a specialty cheese shop here in San Diego called Benissimo. And for anyone who's local in San Diego, if they don't know Benissimo, they don't live in San Diego, maybe. Something's wrong with them.
Exactly. Do you live under a seashell? Yeah. Because
everyone knows Benissimo.
No, I'd like to think so, but.
No, it's such a wonderful specialty cheese shop. And I really think that it captures this essence of what going to a place, like a specialty place, is all about. And tell us about your journey and just introduce yourself.
Sure.
Because that was a very short introduction to a very beautiful journey.
Yeah, a long, beautiful journey. And I'm blushing now. Like, that was very nice. Could you write that in my obituary? If we could record that down.
It's recorded
like
now.
I remember this. No, that was really nice. Yeah,
it's true. It's all true. I mean, it's a...
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been the best journey ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got to say, and even to this day, to these crazy days, it's still the best journey. Like, I look forward to going to work every day. I look forward to what cheese are we going to eat today, or who we're going to meet today. Mm-hmm. I love what you're standing for, bringing people together. Mm-hmm. That was the whole purpose of doing the cheese shop. Yes, I love cheese. Yes, I wanted my business. This is where it all started. Mm-hmm. Those two things. But then I realized what I really, really love about the whole thing is the connection with everybody. You know, when somebody comes in and we get to talk, and maybe they've been to Italy or they've been to France and they want to recreate or find what they had there. And then we start learning about them. We start learning about their family. And it just becomes this, I don't know, it's a connection. Mm. And food and wine bring that connection together.
Yeah, absolutely,
I think, right?
Absolutely.
Completely. That's when the defenses come down. Mm-hmm. You become yourself, right? When you're just talking and sharing. And that's my favorite part of the business to this day, is being in the shop one-on-one with people. Mm-hmm. I love that so, so, so very much. And so it's really just a joy. Mm-hmm. And of course, I love cheese.
Yes. Yeah, and you have many shops now. I mean, I know you also supply to different restaurants. Mm-hmm. You guys have some very cool trips also that I think
yes.
you started, what, 2 or 3 years ago?
Our voyages.
Your
we call
voyages,
them our baby
yeah.
voyages.
Like the wine voyage.
Like the wine voyage. I'm liking the connection.
Yeah. It's a great connection.
It's a great connection.
It is. I hadn't even thought of it.
Yes. I keep waiting. I'm going to sidetrack for 1 second.
Oh, you can sidetrack all you want.
Virgin does voyages. Virgin, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm a super fan of Richard Branson. Like,
okay.
I just think he is the bomb. I keep waiting for one day, like, oh God, maybe he'll sue me and I get to meet him because we want to be voyages.
I get to meet him because
he's suing me. Anyway, that's a side note. But yes, now we do voyages to take people to the places where the cheese is made, mm-hmm. to really see what goes into making cheese because it's a labor of love. Cheese making is
mm-hmm.
eating it and loving it and appreciating, you know, a cheese that can cost $30 or $40 a pound.
Yeah.
That's a love if you're going willing to spend that money, right, on something
yes.
like that.
It's money well spent.
It's money, I think so. Well spent, but it's a labor of love.
It's kind of like wine. It's money well spent.
Yes.
If it's something that you value, you cherish, and you're going to enjoy it with people you care for, it's absolutely
yeah.
worth it.
Absolutely, yep. And then you drink it, it's gone. You eat it, it's gone. But you have that memory.
That memory,
it's
exactly.
So good, so important. Yeah. So that's, you know, I just kind of why I did it.
But take us back. So let's
go step way back.
Yeah, step way back. So this has been 19 years ago.
19 years ago. 19 years ago. Just barely born.
Okay. Oh, yes, yes.
So you know. I was very young.
You were very, very young. You were very young, though. You're still very young.
Very young.
And this is, was this your idea? Was it something that, how did it come to be? Like, how did you, first of all, what were you doing at the time? What were you doing before Benissimo?
Sure. Yes.
Came to life.
I'm one of those, it sounds like that repeated story, the corporate world. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd spent years and years public relations and marketing for different companies and all kinds of companies, consumer products, technology, whatever, but public relations and marketing, great experience.
Yeah.
And I think any experience that you get when you start a business is good experience. Mm-hmm. Maybe you were an accountant. Maybe you were a builder. Maybe you did operations of something. It's all going to help business. Yeah. Well, marketing and PR definitely helped, you know, with the business. But I'd always wanted my own. And so for years and years, it's like, what could that business be? I once wanted to start the salad bowl, believe it or not. Ooh. It's called the salad bowl. And,
like a soup plantation kind
more
of
like
concept?
Tender greens.
Okay.
You know, where
that's nice.
Nice, right? Yeah. Where you walk in and you can make your, you know, tell us what you want on it. And that whole concept. Mm-hmm. But I had 0.0 interest in salad.
So that was not going to work at all.
Get it. We realized, you know, when you start doing like a business plan, you can't really start thinking about it. And I was like, no, it's not.
Salad.
No,
do I want to eat salad every day? Probably not.
Not so much. But geez, thing. It was a food that I loved. And my mom is from Austria. Mm-hmm. And we've been fortunate enough to travel, you know, as kids. And I remember distinctly falling in love with those shops. You know, you had the butcher, mm-hmm. you had the baker, and then you had the cheese shops. And it was like, wow, you know, we don't have cheese shops in the States, you know, in America. And I love cheese. And seriously, the proverbial light went on. And at that point, we were living in Sacramento, California. And a couple things happened. It was like that light came on. It's like, oh, I'd love to do a cheese shop. Same time, we were like, and we would also love to live in a city. And that city has to have good weather.
I start looking you guys at were in Denver, right?
Denver, you born in Denver. Denver. Yeah, born in Denver. Years of, you know, 20 years. No, that I'm going to do by my age. A lot of years of business before that. And then just decided, hey, we want to live in a city. And San Diego's got good weather. And they don't have a cheese shop. Mm-hmm. And very few places did. You know, New York, San Francisco. Yeah, you would find cheese shops back then. So we said, we're going to give this a try. And I spent a year, you know, we moved downtown to give this lifestyle a chance. Mm-hmm. And then I spent a year, like, looking for places and building a business plan. And finding space was ridiculously painful and difficult. Mm-hmm. No one knew what a cheese shop was. You know, I would reach out to landlords and they'd be like, no. Have you ever run a business like
random.
That? No. Cheese? No. And I remember this place in Mission Hills, that was our first shop, was a brand new. There was just dirt on the floor. So that's how new that building and stuff was. But something about it, so I'm going to have to say, like, most of, I don't do lots of demographic research, any type of that kind of research.
It just spoke
to
you.
It spoke. The neighborhood did, Mission Hills, that space did. It's like, well, people could walk. It just feels good. Mm-hmm. This is the space. Well, that space was huge then. And I'm like, well, we can't afford such a big space. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing, I asked the landlord, to cut it in half? And they're like, no, not going to do it. I'm working with the broker. And I'm trying to convince him that, you've got to cut this in half. I just need a little wedge of space for this little shop. And he said, no. I was faxing. If anybody faxes anymore, I don't think so. But I remember faxing little. I would, like, once a week, a little, this is why you should let me in.
Wow, okay.
You know?
So how long were you doing this for, trying to get the space, the spot?
6 months trying to get that space, yeah. September.
You knew it was this one.
But this was the one. I didn't find anything else. I knew it had to be this one. So one day, happened to be there was a Starbucks next door, brand new there, and overheard that the owner of the space was going to be there, you know, just kind of checking things out. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, this is it. So the next day when I knew the owner was going to be there, I showed up with just a little box of cheese. And it was cheese I found like at a Whole Foods because back then I couldn't get
I was going to ask
stuff.
Cheese from where.
Exactly. But I needed to show what I was thinking, mm-hmm. right? So the owner is there with the broker and they're in the space. And I introduced myself and I said, hey, you got to give me a chance and split this space and do a cheese shop. I think it could be really big. That day, the owner said yes.
Wow.
He said he would do it. So I was like really proud. And then I was scared to death. to death because you start thinking, you know, oh my gosh, look at what I'm signing. 5 years of a lease. Nobody's going to buy cheese. What am I going to do? We're going to be broke. I'm going to be ramen. No wine for me. You know, what are you going to do? The terror sets in. Then you sign with the closed eyes on the dotted line.
Oh my God.
You know,
that's
that
so
was
awesome.
September, yeah, of 2003. Then we had the few months to, you know, build it up. And I remember we'd be working in there and people would be walking by. What's this going to be? And they'd be like, a cheese shop. And they're like, what, tea? Like, no, cheese. And you would get that look. You can't see it on a podcast, but the look.
Oh, yeah.
So sorry for you. So, well, great. Good luck. You know, I remember that was happening and I'm like, oh gosh, what have we done?
Because
what
many of the shops that are there, I'm thinking, were probably not there. Was the Vons there?
The Vons was not there. Nope. There was an old Albertsons where, is it Jimbo's now? What is it? It's not Jimbo's. It's Lazy Acres.
Yes.
That was
Lazy
an old,
Acres.
old Albertsons. So that was kind of the anchor. But there was Whole Foods, you know, down a couple miles.
So that
down.
One was already
that was
there,
the
one in Hillcrest?
That one in Hillcrest. So that was like the big competition was Whole Foods. What could we do? But yeah, open that up. And then January 17th at 9:30 a.m., we're trying to open the doors. The credit card machine's not working. We're trying to make things work. 10 o'clock is, you know, the opening bell. That day, my gosh, I mean, we had maybe 50 cheeses in the whole case. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't know everything about cheese. I knew I loved it. But there was one book out at the time. I had that book. And true confession, I looked at his top 50. I said, these are the ones we're going to order.
Wow.
We'll start with those.
Okay.
So every, you know, everything, opening everything up was an adventure just from that day one.
And it was just you, right? At the beginning, it was just you. Roger, your husband at the time was still, he still had
his job. He kept his day job, kept us going. Yeah. And he would come in on the weekends and help, but, you know, day in and day out was me. But then we did have two part-time people helping.
Okay.
And I still have such a place in my heart for them. You know, think of them every year, and it's really, really great. But, you know, we had people come that day, you know. I think our first day sale, maybe $1,000. I wish I had all the history. And I wish we had cameras, more cameras back then.
Yeah.
I have maybe 10 photos of them.
Oh, that of
yes.
Wow.
That's it, you know. Mm-hmm. But we had no crackers. We had no crackers. We had nothing. There was 50 cheeses in the case.
And that was it.
That was it.
Were you
it
letting people try the cheese?
We were letting people try the cheese. Because I knew that that's what the goal was, to take the intimidation out of cheese. And I think wine's similar. It'd be interesting to talk about that. That intimidation factor. Don't know how to pronounce it. Am I allowed to taste it?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think both cheese and wine, they can be pretty intimidating because, exactly, I mean, people have a hard time ordering something where they can't pronounce it. They don't really understand where it comes from, what grape it's made with. And with cheese, it's the same. I mean, we've spoken about this in the past, the whole concept of terroir that you also find in cheese.
They're so they go so much together, right?
Yeah.
And then that not wanting to pick something wrong or do something wrong, which there isn't. We know
there isn't. Exactly, there isn't.
But we wanted to take all that away, so we would, of course, have sampling. Our little tags on the cheeses, you know, would always have the pronunciation on it as well, so that people
you
could
still
at least
have
look at that. We still have it. We do, and it's just
that's very helpful.
Exactly. She's like, I'll tag the fromage d'Auvergne, but people will try it at least.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know what? That's great. You say Manchego, I say Manchego. It doesn't matter. We will get it for you. We really, that was our goal, number one, to take away that intimidation and just to share the joy, you know, of cheese. So it was all meant to be that. And I'm going to go back because I think you're right, Myrna. Like, when you're growing up, things influence you to make you go a certain direction. Well, obviously seeing these little shops and then my mom being from Austria, when we were growing up as kids, every Christmas we went to the German deli, to the little deli, to get our fancy stuff for Christmas, right? That was such a treat for me. And I remember the deli lady. And I'm thinking, I have become
you are the deli lady.
Because there's kids that 18 years ago were this big, have come into the shop every year. Maybe it's just Christmas.
They pick up their nice cheese and they say hi to the deli lady.
To the deli lady. And then there's a memory, right, of just how fun it was and how good it was. So I feel like I've recreated that subconsciously, but I loved it so much.
Well, I invite you to subscribe, like, and share this podcast. Let's make this grow together. And I have to say, every single time that you speak about cheese, even after 19 years, you just light up.
Yeah,
it's true. I mean, whether it's at a dinner party where you bring the cheese, or even at the cheese shop, and you just light up when you talk about it. So I can tell that it's something you absolutely love and will continue loving.
Yes, I hope. if I don't, I don't know what I'll do. Can I join you on the wine?
Of course, so things
can. I feel it. I know you're tired of this.
I know you love this too. Well, I want to try this cheese.
Yes.
So please give us a rundown.
Be drooling. Okay, giving you the rundown.
I am drooling here.
Yes. So, all different textures I want to put on there, something soft, something medium, something harder is always a goal. And then I like to mix up the milks. So you've got goat, cow, sheep, maybe buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And then around the world, I think I've got different countries. We'll see how many countries I got on there today. But that's my goal always with the plate. And then to have something that's a little wild on there. And then, of course, proud
pizzas. I love it when you add that wild touch. It's always surprising.
It's that surprising. Yeah. And back to, you know, taking away the intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
You can mix any of them up. They all are fine. They're all good together. There's rarely a time when you go, this just, it's 0.0 that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I want everyone to know that. Don't
happen,
be scared.
I just thought of this. Does it happen in the cheese world the same way it happens in the wine world? They have a lot of people that are very snobby. Is that a thing in the cheese world?
A little bit. We'll call them maybe the purists.
Okay.
They don't want anything that has the flavors added or something. But it's very rare. We have a few that are very particular.
Mm-hmm.
The camembert has to be in the exact right stage. But,
okay.
You know, I don't blame them. There's stages that I like it
course.
Better than others,
yeah.
too. So I would say there's less snobbiness in the cheese world.
Okay.
Maybe because it's still newer.
Yeah.
That's
nice because then that makes it more approachable for people. I think one of the reasons why wine can be intimidating is because there are many reasons why, but it's linked to this to something snobby, to something a little bit, you know, like more high-end, and people feel intimidated by it, not just the name, the countries and the region where it's from and how to order it, but also some people automatically pair it with something unapproachable.
Yes, it's kind of true. And I still have that issue, especially at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a wine. My heart stops. I mean,
to this restaurants, I swear, I want to sometimes just like walk around and help people. I'm like, just for free. Just like, let me help you out. I know it's
intimidating. Your cards and walk around. Just do it.
I can help you out. It's intimidating. I mean, that's why the sommelier is there.
Yeah. But that's intimidating.
But speaking to the sommelier can be intimidating as well, because then you get the question, well, what do you like? And a lot of people don't know what they like,
exactly.
Which is fine. It's hard to figure out the style that you like. I mean, for me with you, it's very easy because we're friends and I know you. I knew you would like this wine.
Yes, we will talk so too. Yeah,
this is what we'll talk about.
And it's gonna be good, I think.
I think so. Yeah, it's gonna be good. But yeah, it can be intimidating. But yeah, that's good to know. Then at least the cheese world doesn't have that layer of snobbery around it.
No. And there isn't, you know, equivalent like a master, you know, in cheese, like a sommelier.
Yeah.
It doesn't carry that same, I want to say, hoity-toity distinction,
or
something.
It
it's kind of interesting. It's a little more laid back. I mean, cheese, especially in this country, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of, you know, women had farms and animals, and they're like, what am I going to do with the milk? I'm going to make cheese. Like the American cheese industry, a lot of the makers are women that just did it out of necessity.
Wow.
It's such a cool thing. One of them you're going to love on here. It's new. I hope you've never had it.
Okay.
Women cheesemakers. It's kind of interesting.
Awesome.
So,
okay,
so it's a very homey.
That?
That's the one in the middle. Let's just start there.
Okay.
It's called Sophia. How beautiful
Sophia.
Is that? Sophia. So
I love the
isn't
name.
Isn't that a great name?
Wisdom, sabiduría.
Ah, is that what that means?
That's what it means.
Ah,
mm-hmm.
See, I learned something too.
Yes.
Every day still. So
I
maybe she
name.
Did.
And
isn't that great?
This is an American.
This is American.
Okay.
Yeah, from Indiana. Goat milk. And then it's got layers of ash. So a lot of people know Humboldt Fog. That's California's version of a goat cheese with ash. Very famous.
Mm-hmm.
Really one of the most popular cheeses in America. So this is a cousin, but you can just see how runny it is.
Mm-hmm.
I will just give a quick tip on cheese. The runnier those soft cheeses are on the outside, the stronger and more intense they'll be.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a camembert that's really squishy and more runny, more intense. Good tip. So that's the tip of the cheese tip of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, goat, you always have to. So you're going to have to, it's going to be soft. I think that's going to be great.
This is
Goat cheese, all cheeses want to be sitting out at least an hour. You want to get them to room temperature. These have been sitting out for hours, and that tastes way better. It's really goaty. I don't know if you can get the goat. Goat, and it'll be interesting to see about the wine. Because this is just like you, in the wine world, they say fish and white wine always have to go together. Same. A lot of people think goat cheeses always have to be like with a Sauvignon Blanc or a Sancerre. But I think it can go just really good with red too. So it'd be interesting to hear your take on it.
So we're drinking a Negro Amaro. Yeah. Okay. It's an Italian varietal from southern Italy. So that's the... The heel
of the boot. Okay.
The heel of the boot from Apulia. It's very interesting because this Negro Amaro is produced by Duca Carlo Guarini, and it's one of the oldest wineries, not just in Italy, but in the world.
Crazy.
It's so crazy. I think it's the second oldest. It's from 1,000, wait, let me read it here. 1,065.
I think you said.
Yeah,
oh my
1,065. God. They were producing wine. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And so the varietal, it's as most Italian wines are, it's a high acid varietal. So right now, when you were mentioning how it pairs nicely with Sauvignon Blanc and which other
like a Sancerre.
Sancerre. Okay. So these are grapes that are naturally high in acidity.
Yeah.
Okay. They're white. This is a red, but it is high in acidity. So let's see.
I think it's good.
I think it's delicious.
I do. I like them together.
Yeah.
So this is what I need to learn, this acidity and everything in wines. It was fun to do your voyage and to learn a little bit about that, but I'm still so much to learn.
Oh, there's always so much to learn in this wine world. It's crazy because I genuinely feel that it's an industry and just an overall type of study that the more you learn, I feel the less I know. It just humbles you so much because there's so much out there and just so much knowledge, and things keep on changing and new varietals and new blends. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's the same for cheese, right?
Cheese.
It's just so much knowledge out there.
Yes.
But I think that's what keeps it so interesting. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would be completely boring, honestly.
It would be.
If we if we weren't able to continue studying, and especially studying something that we're so passionate about, it would be boring. And
it
then
would
we wouldn't really have something to offer to the people that enjoy our experiences.
So good.
Okay,
so
tell me the other one.
So the next one, let's see which order I want to go into. I think we should jump into the Camembert. So that's famous. And this was one of my whole goals. My quote is, I wanted to make Camembert as well known as the cappuccino. Because think back, before Starbucks in America, unless you had traveled overseas, no one knew what a cappuccino was. It was Senka. If you remember back then at restaurants and everything, that was what you got. It wasn't the cappuccino. So I wanted to do the same for cheese because now Camembert is getting more well-known. Camembert, classic French. So that's the softy here, Mirna. And it's going to be a little sticky, so I'll hold the plate. But Camembert, this is from Normandy, France. I'm curious what wine you think would be the best, because I'll tell you what all the books say would be great with Camembert. But this one can vary in intensity. This one, I think, is quite mild for Camemberts. Usually
it's pretty
they're
mild.
Mushroomy, yes. But there can be brie-like. This one's more brie-like to me. But then a true, ripe, funky Camembert is one of my favorites, where it's almost... It's the dirty socks and all that, but I love it when it's like that.
I like it, though. It's it's mild, it's creamy, it's really nice. And I had a piece of this. What is this?
Oh my God, I put goji berries on here.
Nice.
So this is the thing, Mirna. You can put anything. Everyone has stuff in their pantry and in the fridge. Jellies, honeys, berries, fruits, veggie. Pull it out of the fridge and put it with your cheese. You'll never go wrong. I will try any of those things with cheese, and it's also fine and fun.
Well,
so
because
these are
I'm having it with the goji berries and it gives it that fruity touch, I would go with a fruity Pinot.
Yeah, okay with that, especially with this intensity, right?
Yes, because it's not that intense. It's a little bit more on the mild side. It's creamy, but it has, I mean, with the goji berries just gave it that really nice little
that fruit.
Fruitiness. Yeah, so okay. That with that, I'm thinking of a New World Pinot, something that's a bit more on the fruity side.
On the fruity side. Mm-hmm. And you kind of nailed it when people are like, just give me a quick wine pairing suggestion. Mm-hmm. And a fruity Pinot really is so friendly with most cheeses on the red side. And then a crisp Sauvignon Blanc on the white side tends to be the easiest to pair. But I hate going down that path because we all know one Pinot to the next is different.
Exactly. But I also feel like people just have to explore their own pairings, right? And see what they enjoy. And I think you've heard me say this. My favorite pairing for champagne is chips. So that's my favorite pairing. For some people, it's caviar. For some people, it's oysters. And it's chips.
You're easy.
It's chips. I'm easy. Nice chips, though. Like sea salt, plain sea salt, chips.
Chips.
No,
that's
no, like barbecue sauce or anything.
No. Just, I'm with you there.
Just nice sea salt chips.
You're a chip purist.
Yes, I am. I am. But that's my favorite pairing. And I love going to the theater, and that's what I always get. Like,
this is what I want to try now.
That's my thing. Like, I'll have a glass of champagne and a bag of
chips. Just salty, yummy chips.
Yeah, so good. I know it's not that fancy.
It doesn't need to be fancy. This is it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we've spoken a lot about this lately, how, I mean, you and I, you know, so many things have become so fancy lately, and it's, in a way, we're missing out on some things that are a little bit more basic and more, you know, day to day.
I think you nailed it. And we're always looking, we need to plan a little less and look at, like, okay, I'm going to have this cheese,
plan a little less.
I think we need to do this constant investigating something before you try it. Mm-hmm. Why can't we just try it and see if you like it, right? I mean, because you look, okay, well, if I'm having Camembert, I've got to have a Cabernet Sauvignon. No, you don't. Why don't you just grab something and then grab one and see if they go together? Mm-hmm. Kind of that be adventurous.
Exactly.
Losing that adventuresomeness because we're looking for the answer.
But even just plan a little less, I think that can be applied to everything, right? Even, I mean, in terms of trying to get together with people and with friends and planning. Oh my God.
Months in advance. I'll see you in February. I'll see you in March.
How this happened? Like, I generally don't even know how this happened, that all of a sudden we need a plan to see someone 3 months in advance because otherwise it's impossible.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I mean, is it just part of growing up? Is it part of our age? Is it an age thing? Responsibility.
I don't know.
We don't have kids, so we don't even have an excuse.
We should have time.
Yeah, we should have lost time. And we don't.
How does that happen? And technology is supposed to make things easier, like we to save time of things, but we don't have any time.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Neither do I. I mean, my mom had four girls, and I feel like she had plenty of time to.
How did she do it without iPhones?
Yeah. Landline, and
you would
have to pay to use the phone.
How old are you? I don't remember those days. No, crazy, right?
Yeah, so crazy.
But, no,
okay.
It's all good.
Well, going back again. Oh, no. Tell me
should
about
we
the
do
cheese.
More? Okay.
Yeah, let's do more. Let's do more cheese.
Oh, let's go, because I talked about it, to sheep. Why don't we go to something sweet? So you have that creamy. Take the Euphoria. I know you know that one. So it's the Gouda.
Okay. Oh, I love the Gouda.
I love the Gouda. And I think I'm going to pair to go with the parallels with wine again. Mm-hmm. I say I hate Chardonnay, but I like French Chardonnays. But I'll typically say I hate Chardonnay. People will come in the shop and say I hate Goudas. I gotta say, wait, have you tried this kind of Gouda? And probably with a Chardonnay too, or something, right?
Yes,
there's
absolutely
that similarity. You got to start saying yes a little more to foods just to try it. But this is an aged Gouda. Goudas are sweet. They're lovely. They're pleasant.
They're beautiful. I have to say, I was not a big Gouda fan until I started having the Gouda from Benissimo, because it's not a regular Gouda.
It's that
aged Gouda with the crystals. Oh my God, it's delicious!
Right?
It's so good.
So good. That's what you could explore, just Goudas all day long and not get through them all.
So good. Yeah. So what I actually remember the first time I had the Benissimo Gouda, it was Vino Carta.
Oh, okay.
This was years ago, mm-hmm. and there was this some cheese and wine yeah. pairing happening, and someone
That's
from
crazy.
Benissimo brought an aged Gouda, and it was amazing. So good.
And then your life changed.
And my life changed. No, I love aged Gouda.
Gouda
and now I also like, I enjoy aged cheddar, because I had one that you brought to a party or something. Oh, so good.
Don't get started.
I think
again,
I just like aged cheese.
Just like people.
Yes,
you get
like
aged
people.
And you just get more
mm-hmm.
refined, wiser,
mm-hmm.
smellier, stronger.
Age is a yeah. beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful
it
thing
is.
In wine and cheese.
Yes.
And humans.
And humans.
I think so,
yeah,
too.
I think so, yeah. We start removing all these layers and just showing who we truly are. And,
exactly, and how wonderful we are.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. On the mood to age,
yes.
then try this 10-year aged cheddar. You were
Ooh,
talking about
you did
cheddar.
Bring cheddar.
I did.
Awesome.
Have to. Like, have those categories, right? Just
mm-hmm.
to try. This one, it has a little bit of the crystal
oh
in it,
God,
just like
delicious.
The Gouda. And you only need 3 bites of that. It's just intense. It's good. It's yummy.
It's creamy.
Creamy. I think, you know, what do you think? Like a real hefty, fruity wine would be wonderful with this.
Yeah, pretty. What do you
mm-hmm.
usually pair it with? Like, what do you recommend?
I like
this,
it.
I know, and this
yeah.
I have to bring this up because I think this is awesome. That when you guys
mm-hmm.
Sell the cheese,
mm-hmm.
on the receipt, you have the pairings for the cheese.
Some
That's
suggestions.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I hate to say, like, it's not,
no,
half,
but
it doesn't have
you
to
do
be.
Have
but
suggestions,
yes, suggestions.
And that's very helpful.
Yeah, exactly. Somewhere to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go from there. But this one, I like it with that jammy Syrah, or even like a nice Merlot.
Mm-hmm.
I love those cheddars, those real cheddary, what we know as sharp cheddars. But then, you know, there's just like Chardonnay in
yes.
California is different than Chardonnay in France. A cheddar from the States
mm-hmm.
or from Canada, the sharp cheddar, very different from a cheddar from England.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't even know that they're in the same category.
How do they differ?
Oh my gosh, not as sharp. You know, this is a sharp cheddar.
Okay.
And that's what we are most familiar with here
mm-hmm.
in the States. In England, you get a cheddar, and to me, I say this all the time, not that I've quite ever done it,
mm-hmm.
but it tastes like licking a cave wall,
minerally.
Okay. Minerally,
okay.
Minerally. So with the wines, different,
yes,
right?
Yeah, it would be
mineral
different, exactly,
quality.
If it has the mineral quality.
Yes.
I love the mineral quality in wines. I love it. And I know
Stone.
You love Syrah, so you...
I
you,
love Syrah,
you,
though, too, yeah.
You had this cheese and you thought of Syrah.
I do. Yeah,
yeah.
I did.
That
jammy,
sounds good.
I don't know, I kind of went with that.
Fruity,
fruity
and big wine.
Exactly, with the
big
cheese. Big
tannins.
That's an easy one. Light
mm-hmm.
cheese, light wine. Bold in your face cheese, bold in your face
bold
wine.
In your face wine.
That's a nice place to start,
yeah,
too.
It's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And you know, there's the traditional pairing of blue cheese with Sunset, so that's
oh,
the,
yes.
the sweet wine.
Exactly.
Oh, so
sweet.
Nice.
Isn't that so good?
It's so good. So good.
Yes. I did not bring a blue today, but the blue with the sweet, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Blue, if you don't have a sweet wine, a honey, just to try blue.
Mm.
Get past that fear of the blues.
Yes. A blue cheese
yeah.
is so fabulous,
mm-hmm.
and I feel a lot of people steer away from
steer
it
away.
Because it's stinky.
Because it's stinky, that's right. They do.
Stinky,
what about
stinky and cheese is a beautiful thing, right?
Yes. It's the one food where mold and
yes,
stink.
Yes, exactly.
That makes it the best.
Yeah.
Love being in a business where moldy things can sell.
Yes,
they're good. But the wines, don't you think, like I steer away from like a sweeter wine, like a Moscato. I'm sure there's beautiful ones out there, but I'm scared of the sweet ones. Like in the cheese world, people are scared of the stinky ones.
Mm.
I think in the wine world, are people most scared of the sweet wines? A Riesling.
Riesling.
Like
I think
poor Riesling.
People,
we talked
poor Riesling.
About
poor
Riesling.
Poor Riesling. Also, I mean, and if you're a wine professional, you love Riesling. All wine professionals, I think, love Riesling for all the right reasons. It's such an amazing varietal,
yes.
produces amazing wines. But outside of the industry, people are scared of Riesling.
Yep.
And it's such a fabulous wine. I mean, such fabulous
yep.
varietal, produces such great wines that pair so nicely with so many types of food. But people are scared of it because they automatically assume that it will be very sweet. And that's not the case.
Yes.
It comes in different styles.
Yes.
And,
like the blues.
Like the blues.
They need
exactly.
to go together. Riesling and blue.
Yeah.
We can make them popular.
Yeah, I think you have to add that as a suggestion.
Now that I'm thinking about it,
add Riesling.
I'm going to add Riesling.
I'm sure you have Gruner, because that connection with Austria, you must have Gruner in there.
Yes.
In your suggestions.
Yeah, we do. I like Gruner with lots of things.
Very cool.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to go back and tell me, please, what were, for you, when you look back on this journey, what were some of the greatest challenges that you had as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. The first one is that first step. It's to leave. I was in a great, high paying position, the corporate world, all the perks that go with that. There's some great perks. That choice to leave and actually do it was one of the hardest things. Mm-hmm. It really was. And
was something happening, not so much in the company, but probably in you, something that triggered that change? There must have been a moment where you said, this is it. I need to follow this passion. I need to follow this dream. Was there something that triggered that, or it was just an accumulation of time?
Accumulation of time. Like I said, I had spent years in the corporate world, and everything niggling in the back of the head is, I want to start my own business. I want to start my own business. What could that be? So it was always back there. Mm-hmm. So it accumulated over time. And then suddenly, you get to an age and it's time to, a lot of things come together. We need a change of lifestyle together, my husband and I. I want a business. All of that started piling up, and suddenly, you find an answer. When you start thinking about things, right, you tend to then, it's like when you see, you're dreaming of buying a car. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you see 1,000 of them in the road. Yeah. You never saw them before, but you started thinking about it, and then it's there. Same thing. Started thinking about, I want a business. I want to do this. I want to do cheese. We want to move. What are we going to do? And suddenly all the answers kind of appeared themselves.
So with leaving Sacramento and Benissimo, was that part of the same plan?
It was, yes. They Sacramento? Came together.
Okay.
They were a package deal.
Okay.
They happened to be. We knew we would go leave Sacramento and come to San Diego and start the business. That was the thing. So it was cutting everything.
Okay.
It was cutting Sacramento and all the friends and stuff we had there. And it was cutting a corporate job, where... you could afford anything, whatever. First year, once I cut that job and stuff, I was trying to color my own hair, turn orange, because I couldn't afford to go get it,
See, I love this story. Tell me more about those sacrifices.
There are sacrifices you make. Yeah. Suddenly, things you take for granted when it's a dual income, doing great job, we can have housekeepers all the time or whatever. It's like, oh, nope, I'll be doing that myself. But it was toward a goal that I knew I needed to. And I needed to do that. For me, it was always no regrets. Even backing up, I'd also wanted to go to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. That was a dream before, because I grew up in music, and I'm like, I'm going to be a star.
We'll talk about that. We have to talk about that. Finish this, but we will have to dig in there.
Oh, God. So it's all the no regrets and to fearless and to try it once. Because to me, I'm thinking, I do not want to get to the end of life and have a regret that I didn't try something. Mm-hmm. I've tried many things that I wish I hadn't done. I would have been worse off had I not even tried them. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So the Hollywood thing, tried it. At least it was, out of my system.
So you went to Hollywood?
Tried that whole thing.
When was this?
I'm not going to tell you the years.
It was terrible.
But it wasn't terrible because I loved Los Angeles. I'm going to tell you right now. I love that. When was it? So... early 90s, in the 90s. I'm like, we're going to go to Hollywood and I'm going to pursue this, this dream. Mm-hmm. Roger's like, okay, luckily I have a husband that is happy to support.
He's supportive.
Oh my gosh, otherwise it wouldn't work for 30 years. What year is it? 35 years.
35 years.
Crazy, but happy to support and try. And go to Hollywood and then try that whole audition thing. Myrna, no, it's terrible. I mean, it is all...
So how long were you doing this for, trying all?
It ended up being only about a year and a half.
That's still a long time.
Yeah, and some terrible situations and audition. And then living in Redondo Beach.
Wow.
Yeah, lived in Redondo Beach and said, I'm going to try this. Audition after audition. Most of the time, didn't even get in front of the people because they weed you out. It was so awful.
Singing, acting, or both?
I was trying both. And I think then I was so young and everything. I didn't really have a focus. Like, I want to be on TV or whatever. I just want to be a star. But what did that mean? So I tried to audition for bands, and I tried to get in, you know, movies or shows or whatever. Most of the time, I saw how subjective it was. You know, it is completely, yes, no, it's you're the flavor of the day or you're not. And I'm like, I cannot spend another 10 years hoping that I am what they choose. Like, it's too out of my control. Mm-hmm. Like, nope, that's not going to work. I got to have a business or something. Yeah. That's when the whole got to start my own business really came in.
Then, so you guys went back to Sacramento?
Or we started in Denver, so that's where we're from. Denver. Mm-hmm. Roger, I want to go to Hollywood.
Okay, so California. Denver to California.
Yeah. And then I'm already souring on Hollywood at that time. So again, things happen, I think, for reasons. Mm-hmm. He got an opportunity with his company to move to Sacramento, a better promotion, you know, job. And like, all right, Sacramento. Hated my first years. Oh, my, awful. I thought it was the worst place ever. Sorry, Sacramento, because I don't think that way anymore.
Yeah. You made peace with Sacramento.
I made peace with Sacramento, and I made great friends in Sacramento, and I learned to play tennis. So that was another thing I loved. As a kid, I would hit the tennis ball against the garage door. It probably drove my mom and dad nuts how they let me do it, but I loved it then. Mm-hmm. I wish I had started tennis then, because I love it. So I learned to play tennis in Sacramento. Great friends and everything. Great jobs again. Mm-hmm. But then again, that thing in the brain, what business could it be? What would be fun? What would make me excited? 10 years in Sacramento we were, and then finally the idea came.
10 years in Sacramento.
Crazy.
Wow.
It was a long time that we're there.
Were you at some point feeling, let's say content, like just like, okay, this is my place, this is where I'm going to be? No, you
never.
Always knew that it was a
not
your place.
Yes, correct. Because I think my dad was a... He has a huge history. Had traveled, been in the wars and world, and an adventurer kind of.
From
a little
Russia,
bit of a gypsy,
right?
From Russia, yeah. And had lived in many places. So I think I have a little bit of that in me.
I think you have a lot of that.
I think so too. Because even now I'm like,
I don't think it's a little.
A little, maybe. Yeah. I love San Diego, but something's in the brain.
Yeah.
Remember that movie
Shook
a lot when the wind would shift. Mm-hmm. The north wind came, and away she went. I think the wind is like saying,
it's starting
you
to
want
blow.
To try some of this and that.
Are you,
I want to try
are you,
it all.
Are you trying to say something?
No, I'm trying to say, but I still, there's many things too I want to
yes.
explore. And I think you're just never too old to do it. It makes me crazy.
Absolutely.
I'm too old. No, you're not. You better do it because clock is ticking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, no, just, that's how we got here. But I love, in 19 years though, has gone way faster than all those others because it's enjoying it so much.
And at some point, Roger left the company that
he did.
Was with, and he...
Yep, and said, okay, I'm going to full-time into
full-time
the...
Benissimo.
Which is crazy because then you start growing. Like you said, we started with one shop, 400 square feet. It was that little shop, and it's
crazy.
Still the baby. It's still the little shop. The same counter, that same cashier stand. We got maybe updated, but now it's kind of quaint. Now it's like, no, that's history.
It's time. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. You're right. Now it's history.
Maybe we can't touch it.
No.
I don't know. But it has the feel of me. To me, I wanted it to be like a little European shop where it is just cozy when you walk in, personable. We like to say we're like the Cheers of cheese. Mm-hmm. People know the names. You know, it's like, oh, hey, Ian, or hey, Joe. Oh, we've got this new one in today. I love, again, that connection with the people. Anybody can sell a piece of cheese. I say this all the time. We're not selling cheese. We're selling joy.
Yes.
Because... you could say cheese is cheese. And if you like craft singles and that brings you joy, yay. I don't care.
Well, you guys, I mean, you guys fully accomplished your vision. I mean, what you were looking for, Benissimo nailed it. It did. And what's so interesting is that I don't even think you guys have competition because it's such a unique space. All the different shops that you guys have in San Diego, they're so unique. They're so... personal. They're so different, and it's a great experience to walk into a Benissimo
shop. Okay, good.
That's
what we hope.
It
is. You don't know when you're in it.
It is, and I mean, and I think I mentioned this before because my wine experiences, they are with Benissimo cheese, and every time I mention like, oh, the cheese that I provide is from Benissimo. Oh, from Benissimo. It's a great thing.
Ooh.
It's a great selling point.
Who knew? You know? Who knew?
No,
that it could
awesome.
Be. But that's I'm so happy about that. So happy about that. And wouldn't going back to the first step being the hardest of cutting off an old life and starting a new one. I don't regret it for the world. For the world. Now, it could have gone opposite. What if the first shop wasn't so successful? Or people didn't come? We had perfect timing,
too. How long did it take, let's say, for you to say, okay, this is actually now a successful business?
So, you know, even our first months, we made money. And I'm going to tell you, to be honest, we would go to dinner. If we sold $300 in one day, I was over the moon. Like, I thought that was such a good day. Yeah. And because we knew, you know, we did do some, you know, math.
Yes.
Done a business plan. Old school, did a business plan and said, okay, we have to make, you know, an average of this much a day to, you know, pay the bills, pay ourselves. You know, I always wanted to have some money to make this happen. So, and we were able to do that out of the gates.
Awesome.
But all kind of word of mouth. We were fortunate though to the timing. We came when Food Network was just taking off. Mm-hmm. People are starting to become foodies, right? Okay. Advertising then was not Yelp and everything. It was Chowhound. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do.
Chowhound was where people shared, oh, have you tried this new little specialty shop or this new restaurant or whatever?
Because this is before social media.
It was before social media. Yeah, before the phones, the digital stuff.
Great times.
It was great times, you know, but my gosh, it was great times. Mm-hmm. But the word got out to foodie people because we knew it had to be people that have traveled and cared for
good
food.
Yeah, they needed to have some connection with the product also, right?
Connection with the product.
They had to be able to compare it to something they had when they were in Europe, when they were traveling, these little cute shops.
Yeah, and they wanted a little piece of that. Mm-hmm. And then they would tell their friends. And it really was, we wanted to grow organically that way. I always find that we weren't on this trajectory of have to have 10 shops in 1 year or anything like that. I was completely content to just let it grow and start meeting the people because that's the funnest part for me of the business, you know? So, and it still is like that is what's the most important. It was all that kind of Chowhoundy. And I'm going to give a shout out to Bread and Sea because they've been our bread purveyor for 19 years because Charles is the owner of Bread and Sea and the founder. I remember when we first opened calling like, okay, I need to have baguettes for the shop. And it's like, oh, well, it's $25 minimum. And every day I'm like, oh, that's out of our budget. Mm-hmm. We don't need that many baguettes. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's not going to work. You know, I'll just pick up bread, you know, elsewhere every day. He himself called back because he's French. He'd studied in France. Oh. Fell in love with the cheese shops.
So he wanted to contribute.
He did want to contribute. He's like, I don't care. And he was delivering 2 baguettes a day to us.
Wow.
That's like $1
worth. 2 baguettes a day.
He says, we will deliver to you.
Oh, that's amazing.
I will never in my life forget that he did that for us.
Unbelievable.
Same with specialty produce. $35 minimum to deliver and stuff. But I need grapes, you know, and stuff for the trays and things. Nope.
Bob and these are now partners for life.
They're partners for life, yeah. And they're still so supportive to this day. He's like, nope, I don't care. 2 bags of grapes, yep, we'll deliver to you.
So they did.
So
wonderful.
In my heart, I want to be that person for someone, you know, moving forward because that means the world to me. And I love them to pieces for that. So it's a collaborative thing, and it's fun. There have been other, like, cheese shops, and even then, I had great relationships with the people that have done it. But why they do work or don't, Mina, it's just like a restaurant. We talk about this. Yeah. Why does one work and one doesn't?
So, it's so crazy.
It's a combination.
What, because the food can be amazing.
Yeah,
like, everything can be there, and sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of great restaurants disappear.
Yeah.
A lot of small shops disappear, and there's no real reason behind. Sometimes it's just luck.
I think there is. I think it's a combination.
Yeah.
You can be genius. You can be, but timing is everything. Luck is some of it.
But speaking of luck, I have to say, I'm happy that your career in Hollywood didn't work out.
I'm happy too. And it's actually fine.
I think that was luck and the fact that it did not work out.
Don't they say that? What is that term that the things that don't happen are better, like, in a reason. Huh. There's some words for it. There's a great little line to exactly that. That when something doesn't happen to you.
Now I have to look it up.
I do too. No, and it's bumming me out that I can't think of it now if I remember.
Yeah, but I mean, it would have been a different story.
Different story.
And we would not be here.
No.
You would not be my friend.
Which
you would be
so
too
sad.
Famous.
Oh, yes.
You're already
I would never
famous. But then you would be way too famous.
Oh, yes. That's it. In fact, how much
impossible.
Are you paying me for this, by the way?
I don't know. I'll give you a bottle of wine.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm easy. I'll just tell you that now.
Yeah, those are like the perfect gifts that we give to each other, right? You bring me cheese, I give you wine.
It goes the age old bartering system.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
So what's next for Vinissimo and what's next for Gina? And I say what's next for Gina because yes, cheese is of course a big passion of yours, and you've been in the cheese world for a very long time, but you love so many things.
I do. This is the problem.
And so first of all, you're an amazing singer.
Oh, I love to sing.
Amazing.
Well,
you love to
kind.
Sing and you are
I
mean just gorgeous, gorgeous voice. I'm not gonna make you sing, although I wish I could make you sing. Maybe
a
little bit more wine.
Yeah, a little
actually,
more.
Yeah, wait, you need more wine.
Oh yeah, then I'll just like
need more wine.
Like
your voice is
Thank
beautiful.
You. That's that fun passion now. Now it's just for fun. And I love it. Have friends that love to sing too. You love to sing and you've got a great voice as well.
We sang together.
Yes, we have sang together.
I love it when
love
we sang together.
Let's do that again. More.
Yeah, let's
do
it again.
And that's a joy thing. And
you play the piano.
I love to play the piano too. And I need to make more time to do it, but I love that.
Is Roger still music?
He's playing the piano, learning to play. My dad played the accordion. He's Russian. And he played the balalaika, which is like their little three-string guitar.
Okay.
It's a triangle shape. Yeah, but it's shaped like a triangle. Kind of.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You've probably seen one.
Yeah, I've seen.
And he'd be at parties, and he would bust out the accordion or the balalaika.
Well, that's you. I mean, that's pretty much
now
you now singing.
That's
it's
so crazy.
You do that with your voice.
It's so crazy how you become now. But that's how you're raised and you learn. But I love music. Music makes life. It's all the good things, right? Why do we deprive ourselves of the good things of life?
I don't know.
I'll do it when I retire. No, do it now is really a key
exactly.
thing for me. So
exactly.
What's next? The voyages. I got to say the travels.
Because you love traveling.
Love
so you,
traveling.
I mean, that,
yeah.
that's something that I think it's important to
to
bring up that I think part of the reason why the Benissimo as it is an experience is because you guys bring all your travels somehow they're integrated into your business as well.
Yeah,
it's all in there, like that essence, that whole spirit of
they
adventure.
Go
they go, they go together, and you guys have been to so many awesome places, great trips.
Yeah, I love that. Want to do more of that? My latest idea.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love Italy? We all talk about it. And
we're
doing
having
Italian
wine.
And the cheeses, of course, are crazy, stupid. What if, would you come?
I'm going to say yes. You know that, right?
You say yes. Because I have a Vespa and I love riding the Vespa. I want to do a food culinary tour around Lake Como on Vespas.
Oh, yes.
And And I'm not
Wait,
sure
okay.
yet.
Lake Como. I love the idea of Lake Como, but I do want to suggest Lago di Garda.
Garda. I was going to say the same.
That
was the next one on my list.
Lago di Garda is a little bit not as difficult.
Yes.
As Como. Como
I think
is
you might be right.
A bit more challenging.
I think
And
might,
they're both beautiful.
Yes,
you know, with Gonzalo, with my husband, we did that. We did a 2-3 days around Lago di Como and Lake Como, and it was stunning. Stunning. I mean, I wasn't driving the Vespa. He was driving. I was just
you're riding, but
having wine and enjoying.
Yeah,
and enjoying
that's even better
villages.
Than you can. Yeah.
I had a great time.
ask him if he was a bit of a time.
He had a great time too.
But something like that, I think, would be so
that's
fun,
awesome.
And to get people to do that. So the voyages. I want to write a book. I have so many ideas. I want to do a screenplay. I have a little wall. What do they call it? Like a vision? Not a
vision board.
Kind of a vision board. Just a dreams board.
To bucket list.
A bucket list. Yeah, it's kind of that. I just have pictures. It's this. I'll show you
it
sometime.
Yes, I like to see it.
It seems silly, but some of them, I really do when I do look at it and I'm like, oh, I haven't done this one, but oh, I did this. Oh, I did this. And it's kind of neat to see that. I don't ever want to be though depressed that if I miss one. Like, it's not this have to do thing, but it is a reminder sometimes. It's like, wow, I really like that. And the most important ones always float to the top, right? You're going to do the ones that are most important to you.
Yeah, of course. And also, I think in a way, life presents you with opportunities. Just
if you're open.
You have to be open and just do it and just go for it.
Cheers to that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to go for it. Like what you're doing with the wine,
Thank
right?
Thank you, yeah.
And it started. First, it was just the idea.
Yeah, it was an idea and then...
And
it became a thing.
It
was an idea. It
became
a dream, and it became a thing. And at some point, you just have to go for it and stop being scared. And
yes, exactly.
What's the worst thing that can happen, right?
Yeah. And you do it wrong the first couple times.
Yeah.
Lord knows we've done so many things wrong.
okay, tell me, what is one of the worst things that you guys had, like, that happened with a client, or can you think of any? You probably can
signing a lease at Seaport Village. Sorry, but I'm going to say it, and I'm going to throw it out there.
Yeah, just throw it out
the
there.
The worst decision ever.
The lease at Seaport Village.
You have these big eyes of, oh, I could have multiple locations, and it's going to be this beautiful thing. It turns out to be much more work, stress on finances, and then not as fun because you're not the connection with the people.
Because especially that's more of a touristy space, right? And
you look back, hindsight, nobody said that more clearly, that it's 2020. Whoever said that, super. You look now, I'm like, what an idiot. Where did I ever come up with that idea? So we've had many failed locations, you know, and I want to say failed. We learned from them.
Yeah.
And now we learned what's most important to us. It's the connection with our people, the shops, the mongers, people who cut cheese,
and
are called mongers,
right? I mean, I think they're excellent. They're so great. And and I think what's I mean, so many times I run into you because you and Roger, you guys get your hands dirty. I mean, you're not just like on the computer and managing everything. No, you guys get your hands dirty and you enjoy it. I know that all the mongers love you guys and you have a great relationship with them. And I think that it adds so much value to the place, like to Venissimo.
They add value to me. Like, you know, they're the kids. So, you know, we don't have kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And those are your kids.
Oh, I love them. I love them.
And Panini,
the big furry kid. Yeah.
That's the big furry. So good. Beautiful. Huge.
Is he 11-year-old kid?
What's the breed of?
Swiss Mountain Dog. So, but he loves Swiss cheese. Does that make him a cannibal?
It's a question to ponder
as the wine kicks in.
That's how I feel with our chicken. We have with our girls.
Yes,
we have four chicken hens. Is it chicken or hens? What's the proper way to?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
I'm gonna stick with chickens. We have four, and sometimes we'll give them not eggs, but shells, because it's good for them. It's protein. It's good for them, but it feels wrong.
Should you be eating this? Yeah, no, it's all good. But yeah, life, it is a journey. You mentioned this in your opening, you know, it really is. And you do have the power to make it what you want it to be. We stop ourselves. I do the same thing. I say I want to do something that I'm a little scared to or nervous, but it's all in my head. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's only myself stopping me.
I was speaking with my sister yesterday, and I was with one of my three sisters, and I was, sharing with her that we were going to do this on the podcast, that I was going to be chatting with you, and she told me, no, what I would love to know about Gina is how did she know that it was time, that it was the right moment? Because it's not always the right moment. Sometimes it's just impossible. So, and I thought this was a good question that she brought this up. Like, how do you know when the timing is right? Like, how do you know that it's now to just go for it and pour your all into something and risk so much, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's a huge risk also.
It is. And it could have gone the other way. But it goes back to, I would know if I hadn't tried, that would be worse.
Mm.
So the fear of that outweighed the risks of doing it. So I think that's part of it. And there's just, I think it's like in anything in life, right? If you say, you just know, I have to meet this person or I have to end a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Something finally gets to a point. You've thought about it enough. You've analyzed it enough. And you just know. I do believe in kind of, what the word is it's not fate or karma. It's that instinct or that intuition. That voice inside you is telling you something. Why don't we listen to it more? Mm-hmm. I think we should listen to it more.
Absolutely.
I don't always. I try to shush it up, but most of the time it's right for me. What holds people back to do it? You can always say it's not the right time. Having kids, you hear that all the time.
That's
it's not the right time for having me. It'll never be the right time. But when you decide it's the right time, then it is the right time for you. Right?
Yeah.
And I sat on many ideas for years. I'm sitting on I want this world cookbook, all the cheeses of the world, like recipes mm-hmm. from every country. So there's 192 countries. And what is their most famous cheese dish? Mm. And talk a little bit about that. And it's, I've got a binder. I've been sitting on this
That's
for years.
That's a great idea.
I think it's that would be fun, a great right? Book. It'd be a great book. Why am I sitting on it? Why has it not gotten to that next step?
You're probably sitting on it because you're already doing so many other things that you're passionate mm-hmm. about. So it's
That's it. Maybe it's has just, to float
it's
to a,
it's yeah, it has top. To it has to get to the top. It will
it
eventually.
It's sitting there staring at
no,
me.
No, first yeah. you need to do the La Uli Comor or La Uli Lala.
I would
the
do
best
just first
and, things. Yeah, it's
yeah, something like that. So there's just so many things that I want to do and experience and see and meet. I want to see people from all. I just people are more the same than different, no matter
exactly,
where.
Yes.
They all want fun food.
We all have the same
friends,
basic needs,
family.
Right?
And, yes.
And this, yeah. Family, friends,
yeah.
health. I think that love, that pretty much. Yeah. I mean, love is everything.
That is it. 100%.
It sums it up.
Yep.
It really does.
And we should be running towards that at every minute that we can. Mm-hmm. Too often as, no, I can't do this. It'll make me fat. I can't do this because it'll, I can't, my doctor says, or, you know, I'm just saying, you know, everything's
yeah.
meant to stop us from doing things that are pleasurable mm-hmm. or might be the best thing for us, right? You know what's most important for you.
Yes.
And I'm sure, do you always do that? Or does sometimes a little voice say, oh, I shouldn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially if you learn, there's such a big trend now with and it's a good trend, right? I mean, healthy. We all
mm-hmm.
want to be healthy, and that's great. But there needs to be a balance also in that healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because eating some cheese, drinking a little bit of wine, I mean, it's not gonna.
Yeah.
It's not gonna change things.
No, it's not.
And it will change your soul.
Yes, that's it. And you just nailed it. I was
yeah.
just gonna get there. We're gonna cheers to that because. Yes,
it changes
this little roll is those croissants in France. I loved
yes.
every second of them, and I wouldn't give that up for anything.
Yeah.
But that's important to
Say
me.
Pasta.
Yeah.
I would not give up pasta. I can't give up pasta. I can't give up carbs. I love carbs.
I
Who
do
doesn't?
Too. Yay!
Why give them up? Like, I don't think it's a matter of giving up anything. It's a matter of finding balance in life, right?
Yes, this is why I like you.
That's why I like you. It's so crazy, and we spoke about
yeah.
this, how wine, and this is one of the things that I love so much about wine. If you have you don't need to have a lot of wine. If you just have the right amount of
mm-hmm.
wine, it opens up a different dimension for a lot of people, especially for people that are usually not that outspoken, that are a little bit more of an introvert,
sure.
shy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need that a little bit of alcohol just to remove those layers and to allow people to be more open. We don't need alcohol, let's be real.
True.
We don't need it. But for so many people, it's a little something that really makes the difference in terms of communication and conversations and bonding and connecting with people, because sometimes some people need it. So yeah, I think it's a healthy product,
right?
if drunk in the right
exactly
in the right,
in the right way.
Way
and for the right reasons. And like you said, it then it creates a connection
yeah
with yourself, with another person, that just
mm-hmm.
I don't know, just food and wine,
it
brings the world together. I want to be, you talk about pasta, this whole Italy, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, Roger, I'm just going to be retire and become a 300-pound lady making, writing my, yeah, Papa, I'll be singing,
yeah.
I'll be the singing
oh
pasta
God,
maker,
you're
singing, best for writing pasta
yes,
maker,
yes,
I'm going to come up with something there, now I'm going to add it to my board.
I think you should, picture of Pavarotti and... you know, the music, the pasta, the cheese, everything around
yes.
it, the singing,
right.
Perfect.
And
I'll come visit you.
Will you come visit? And we'll
of
just
course.
Make pasta around a big, I can picture the kitchen already.
Yeah.
And everyone can stand around making pasta.
I can picture it.
Drinking wine.
Yes.
Eating cheese.
Where in Italy?
I feel it has to be northern because then I'm close to Austria.
Yes.
Because
close
my
mom
is there and I want to be with mom and family. Again, because of the family connection.
Oh, I love northern Italy, so that works for me too.
It works for you, you'll
yeah.
come? Okay,
come.
Perfect.
I'm in. So speaking
Excellent.
Of
yeah.
connections and people
mm-hmm.
and moments that we've shared,
mm-hmm.
I want to end with this.
Okay.
Okay. And this is going to be, I think you're going to have to think it through, but can you share with us a special moment with a special wine. You don't have to remember the wine necessarily, but just like take us down memory lane, a moment where you were enjoying a glass bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And you just thought to yourself, wow, this, you know, when you have that aha moment, like just, what a moment.
I can tell you exactly.
Okay.
Is that crazy?
That is crazy.
Because I still dream of it, and I'm hoping that we can go back and recreate again sort of this year, because I loved it so much and it was so perfect. Paris, another favorite city. It's cliche. I love that city. Yes. It's not even cheese related, gotta say. Oysters. So it's this tiny little oyster restaurant. Inside, maybe 8 people can sit, and outside, you know, the little Paris bistro tables, 2 of them. We show up. We want oysters, and we want this rosé. Can I tell you what it was, Myrna? Exactly, no. But it was the perfect day, the perfect pairs together. Mm-hmm. I want to go back. And we've tried to go back twice. Every time we've gone, they've been closed. Like,
I know we're on vacation.
You know exactly which place I'm talking about.
Yeah, because a common friend that we have, she recommended this place, right? I think it's this tiny spot.
I can't remember the name even. I can picture it in my head. And I have pictures of me standing there, like, crying because it's closed. But I have pictures of us also eating the oysters with this rosé. I should look at the bottle. Mm-hmm. It was a rosé and oysters. My favorite bottle ever. Why don't I know this more? This is the problem. I don't remember what was so good. But it's the moment.
And it's fine because it's the moment. Yeah. I think that's what matters. It's the moment. And wine is just part of that moment, which is so beautiful, right? I mean,
it's right. And it'll be there forever. Yeah. And I shouldn't try to recreate it. I should try to create a new one.
Yeah, and I'm sure you have many new ones.
Oh,
this one just popped.
Because I love it.
But I'm
so
sure
much.
You have so many.
Now, Myrna, explain to me though. I am trying to. I feel, and you talked about this earlier, of the, you know, wine has a little bit more of a refinedness to it. I'm still trying to learn to love a really good wine, or even to distinguish a really good one from just an average one. I feel like
So first of all, don't like torture yourself over that, because at the end of the day, my approach to wine, I think, is a little bit different, because I didn't grow up drinking wine. I grew up actually in a home where
none,
not just none. It was prohibited. Yeah. It was not allowed till this day, not allowed. I fell in love with it. I feel older. I mean, I was in my mid-20s, early mid-20s when I fell in love with wine. I'm 41 now, so that was some time ago.
Just a few years ago.
Yeah, just a few years ago. That was some time ago. And I think my approach was really like a little kid that discovered something.
Yeah, it's all exploration.
Yeah, just, it was an adventure, and it still is. It really still is. And trying to distinguish whether it's a good wine or a bad wine or a wine that is more expensive, therefore it's a better wine. That's really not what it's about. And I think that's the problem with the way that, I think that's what actually makes wine unapproachable for a lot of people, because they feel embarrassed that they're not picking the right wine. Oh, my palate isn't refined, therefore the wine that I select is probably not great. And I think we just have to get rid of all of those misconceptions
that would
and
be
just
nice.
Go for it and drink wine. And maybe the wine that you prefer is a $15 bottle and someone else prefers a $50 bottle.
Yeah.
It's not about that. It really isn't.
No, but how that pressure.
It's pressure. It's pressure. It's a pressure from society and from a group of people around you that – it just triggers that. But honestly, it's really just the wine that you prefer. So just be adventurous. And of course, I mean, learning is great. I love learning, and I tell this to Gonzalo often. If I couldn't drink wine, God, please, no. But if that were ever to happen, I would continue studying it.
Mm-hmm.
I would, because wine is history, geography. Yeah. It has so many areas, like culture and tradition. So there's so much to explore in the wine world.
Yeah, endless.
Yeah, and it's not just the actual product, it's how this product came to be and how each region has its set of regulations and geographical characteristics. Right. And there's that so much to it. So
alter that.
Exactly, that alter it. So of course learning is a big component. The more you learn, the more you taste, the easier it is, I guess, to
maybe appreciate
to figure out whether it's a good wine
Now, have you? What's the most expensive wine you've ever tasted? Can you recall? Like, and did you go, "Oh my gosh, this is mind blowing"? Is there a wine?
Okay,
like, do you have one?
Yes. I've had some amazing wines, and I mean, honestly, several.
Okay,
but.
Yeah. I feel I haven't gotten.
But I'll tell you this. So several, but those weren't my favorite wine moments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an expensive wine, yes. I mean, some wines are glorious.
Yeah.
and you enjoy them and you appreciate them. You appreciate them for the trajectory, for their history, for all of that.
Yeah.
But honestly, the best wines I've had are the wines that I shared. Special moments with special friends.
Yeah.
I mean, for
the experience more than the wine itself.
Exactly. For my 40th birthday, some dear friends, they opened a bottle of a 1981. So my 40th, it was a 40-year-old bottle of Bordeaux. And I mean, I was practically in tears. It was a beautiful bottle. It was the wine still had a lot of character and it was a gorgeous wine. But that moment, that meant more than anything.
Uh-huh.
I felt like I was opening a piece of history of
like,
my
right
my
when
year.
You were born.
Exactly,
they were this,
exactly.
This
that vintage,
got into
that
a
vintage,
bottle.
Yes,
right.
That
there.
Vintage.
That's
so
nice.
That was very special. And I think those are the things that wine can give you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be linked to a high price tag.
No, and I agree. Cheese is the same.
Yeah.
The most expensive one might not be the most flavorful wine or there's reasons. It's so interesting.
Yeah. Cheers to you.
Yeah, and you.
I mean, this is so awesome. Thank you so much. Well,
congratulations to you.
No, thank you. This is the first podcast.
The first.
And I'm so glad that I was with you because it just doesn't
does make it easy.
It doesn't feel like a podcast.
We're just chatting.
I just feel the light in my face.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like I just feel the light. But other than that, it's like, you know, with a friend just talking.
Just that's what it should be.
Yeah.
That's life. Favorite parts of life are these moments.
Exactly. These are the moments that
planned.
It's all about this.
Yeah.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And you are such an inspiration. Mm-hmm. I love how you live life to the fullest with so much passion and determination. And you as a person and also as a couple with Roger, you guys are amazing. And
Thank you.
You inspire us.
Well, we're lucky to have met you. Everything's the same. Because then it introduces us to new things. It's all wonderful.
It is.
We've known each other almost 10 years.
We have.
It's crazy.
Almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy because when I was living in Spain, and you know this, when I was living in Spain, a friend of mine mentioned, oh, there's this cheese shop in Mission Hills in San Diego. And when you move to San Diego, I'm sure you're going to love it.
That's so crazy.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Here we are.
Who would have known?
With Miss
Benicio. Who would have known?
Yeah. Who would have known? So thank you, universe, for making this happen.
And there's a reason it does. And I believe in it wholeheartedly.
Yeah,
and it's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jean. It was
welcome.
So
thank
nice.
You,
and thank you to all our listeners.
Yes, exactly. All of you out there.
All
cheers.
Of you out there. Cheers.